recency bias. Happy Friday. That's right. Rolling into the weekend, feeling good because playoffs. That's right. Little X is inched in there now. Your Montreal Canadiens playoff bound 6-2 win over the Florida Panthers on Thursday night. Zach Vanoss along with you here on the Recency Bias, our morning after mini podcast brought to you by the Montreal Bias Podcast, The Big Show, which Sean and I co-host together and comes out when it comes out. That's the answer on that one. And rabbithabs.com, of course, home to all sorts of Montreal Canadiens content created by all of our contributors. We've got the forum up this week in which we discuss what's the deal with Charles Hudon. Why is the guy who's leading our minor league team being the AHL and the St. John's Ice Caps not really getting a chance with the big club? We've got Will Hart doing a translation of some Russian media discussing what they believe former KHL superstar Alex Radulov is going to get. What else we got on there? Well, we got game day previews. We've got, of course, the recap from AJ Bissett at Habs Game Blog. All sorts of stuff well worth checking out. And as always, since we're doing a little bit of the homework stuff, subscribe. Subscribe to the Montreal Bias Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Rate us. Leave a review. All that kind of good stuff that makes me feel good. You know what else makes me feel good? Tim Raines in the house. Tim Raines at the Bell Center on Thursday night. Hall of Famer Tim Raines in the house because the Blue Jays, my Toronto Blue Jays, in Montreal this weekend, play a couple games of spring training before the regular season gets going. And Tim Raines also going to be given the key to the city. Of course, these couple games that the Jays play at the Big O every year are meant to be part of ushering baseball back to Montreal. Of course, big news on that this week. Apparently, word on the street, and maybe perhaps from the leaked mayor's office, though he says otherwise, is that the requirements Major League Baseball put out to the city of Montreal in terms of what they would need to have in place if MLB was to start considering bringing a team back to the city, which is basically buy-in from government, the money in place, as well as, and Rob Manfred, the, I always want to call him Manfred Man, but that's the band that sings Blinded by the Light. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, basically said in an interview yesterday, yeah, we consider Montreal, but, you know, stadium thing. Apparently those stadium plans are in place, at least at five different locations, so they're trying to check all the boxes to be allowed to bring baseball back to Montreal, be that by expansion or the relocation of the Tampa Bay Rays or the Oakland Athletics. I don't want to take the Oakland. That feels mean. That's a long-established team. But we can take the Tampa Bay Rays. Nobody cares about them down there anyways. Let's not take Oakland. They just lost their football team, for crying out loud. They're about to lose their basketball team to the other side of the bay, the rich side of the bay. So let's leave the A's in Oakland. We'll take the Rays. That's fine. Or expansion. Your choice. I'm not picky. But yeah, that's all the Expos news on the recency bias. And if they do come back, and as it's looking more and more as if they will, you're going to see Expos content on rabbithabs.com. When Sean and I teamed up to begin the Montreal Bias, which was a website and a podcast, 5-6 years ago now, I guess, the idea was if the Expos ever came back, we would definitely cover them. That's why we called it the Montreal Bias. And then when we teamed up with Rabbit Habs, that idea didn't go away. We may just have to retitle thing. But if the Expos come back, we'll be carrying that content as well. I don't think I'll be doing a morning after podcast for a baseball game, but you can bet I'll be talking baseball at every opportunity. Look, I already took up like 4.5 minutes of this podcast to talk about the fact that Tim Raines is there. And Canadians related news, not the biggest news on the night. Let's talk about a 6-2 win and a playoff berth instead. Montreal Canadiens have now made the playoffs 11 of the last 15 years. They've got two trips to the Eastern Conference Finals in there. Sure, it hasn't been a Stanley Cup run, but things have been decent the last 15 years. basically in the 21st century for Montreal Canadiens fans. Let's be honest. It hasn't been as bad as it was from the post-Stanley Cup era, 93, to, let's say, the early aughts. The last 15 have been more or less kind to us. There's been some things that we've been able to enjoy. And perhaps setting up for another epic run this spring, let's say, but you got to finish out the regular season first. They got work on that done on Thursday night with that 6-2 win. So let's look at the goal scorers. Paul Byron, number 21 and number 22 on the season. Still shocking to see that in a way. Paul Byron, the 20-goal scorer. Oh, little Paul. C'est Paul. Thomas Plekanec finding his 9th of the season. Maxwell Pacioretty with his 35th. Brendan Gallagher, who had himself a hell of a night, and we're going to talk about that more in a minute, win number 10. And hey, Phil Deneau even getting one with his 12th of the year. And what a game. I mean, from the puck drop, not the official, ceremonial, that's the word I was looking for. Not the ceremonial one by Tim Raines, the real one. From that moment on, through the first period, I wasn't sure there was another line out there besides Gallagher, Plekanec, and Byron. They were going. They were moving. I mean, you know they're moving when Plex gets one. 3 points for Gallagher in the first 10 minutes of this contest. He would wind up, of course, with 4 total in the game as he would add his 10th goal of the season in the third period. But they were flying. They were firing. We had been seeing this coming from Brendan Gallagher for a little while now. Goal came the other day, but it was obvious that he was rounding into form. Even Max Pacioretty talking after the game said he'd been playing really well for a while now. So obviously we're not the only ones noticing the difference in the play of Brendan Gallagher. Teammates picking up on that as well. And it paid off for a huge night for Gallagher on Thursday night. As I say, 3 points in the first 10 minutes of that game. Another line that grabbed my attention, not in the same way for completely owning the first period the way the Plekanec line did, but I, at one point I saw that King, Ott, and Martinsson are out there as the fourth line. I thought to myself, now that is an old-school fourth line, for better or worse. And plenty of stats people would tell you worse. I probably think it's not the greatest, but man, there is something to be said about a sizable fourth line going out there. And maybe that is what led to some of the funny stuff in the second period, or contributed at least to some of the funny stuff in the second period. A rather rather unfriendly period between two teams that, for the most part, to my understanding, don't have a lot of animosity between them. And I wonder, I don't know if you remember a couple episodes ago, I mentioned that Brian Wilde in his Call of the Wild piece had talked about the additions of King, Ott, and Martinsson and what it kind of meant just for the overall. I know the word great a little bit overused, but I think that really is what we're talking about here. And I don't just mean great in terms of size. I'm talking confidence, ability to push a little, get a little frisky. And I wonder if that, is what Wilde was talking about as he was seeing evidence of it. And we said we'd keep an eye on it. I think we saw some evidence of it on Thursday night. You saw the King, Ott, Martinsson line out there, but then you saw things like Max Pacioretty mixing it up with Marchessault on Florida. Just the overall, I don't know, the guys do seem a little bit more willing to get a little messy. Get in there, get chirpy, get chippy. And maybe that is something that's been created by the fact that those guys on the fourth line feels like you got a little muscle behind you. I don't know. This isn't by any means an endorsement of a King, Ott, Martinsson line. I don't know how that works for you come playoff time. I know at the moment, Claude Julien just wants to have everybody ready, so he's got that rotation of the fourth line that brings Torrey Mitchell in on a regular basis at the moment. So that's where we are with that. Other big things, how about that 5-on-3? That was a massive kill. Well done. I know the Panthers wound up scoring relatively soon after that, but a really great kill. Belsetter was up for this one. Belsetter was up for Tim Raines, giving him the real roar. Kind of felt like everybody's realizing that mid part of the season, mid to late part of the season, when it just feels like it's dragging on, like games 60 through 70 or even game 50 through 70, that 20 game stretch that's always a little bit hard on everybody, including the fans. That's behind us. There is a strong light at the end of the tunnel of the regular season. Playoff berth on the line. So everybody was up for the game, very much engaged with that 5-on-3. The Bell Center was noisy and enthusiastic, and you kind of felt like for a game that was virtually meaningless, had the early work, especially on a Thursday night, had the early feelings of that, playoffs are coming. People starting to get into this thing again. Of course, then you have the goonery that was going on, and that also tends to get people a little bit engaged as well. It's good to know that Thornton, former Boston Bruin, is still a caveman. That's nice to see. I was wondering if he'd changed, but no. You know, if Thornton did not believe in evolution, I don't even think we could be mad at him, because it did not happen for him. He is still stuck in the ancient ages. He is perhaps Neanderthal, hard to tell. But it's good to know that he's still out there leading the charge from the Ice Age. So, second period, Florida gives what I think was all that they had, literally, figuratively. And then the fight was out of them. Their season was very much officially over. I believe they were officially eliminated from the playoffs as Montreal officially punched their own ticket. And you could tell by the time the third period came around that the fight was over. The Montreal Canadiens were going to walk away with this one, obviously peppering the net for 6 goals by the end. And that was that. Tomas Plekanec, in a night in which he scored number 9 on the season. And we talked about Plex on the last one, as we were also praising Markov and how long these two guys have been playing for this. I didn't realize this until they announced it in this game. Plex tied Denis Savard. Not Denis Savard, Serge Savard, for 10th all-time on the Montreal Canadiens games played list. That's crazy. Again, same caveats as the thing from the last podcast with, they play 82 games now, yada, 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 new medicine. Still, that's nuts. Plex has been around forever now. Only 9 guys have pulled that sweater on for more games than Tomas Plekanec. Crazy. So again, as much as it seems Plex's better days and decent days are well behind him, let's not forget how great this guy has been, how important he has been for the Canadiens through these 11 playoff appearances in 15 years. And he's played through some rough ages with the Canadiens too. Did he ever complain? No. Never heard a single complaint out of Plex. Always done exactly what his coaches have asked him to. Always behaved entirely. He's awesome. It's unfortunate that having put all this mileage on, and that's what happens, I mean, he's only 34, but somehow moved into number 10 all-time on the game's playlist for the Habs, that he's older than 34 as far as the mileage he's put on those legs. He's probably more like a 40-year-old. And so, yeah, he's slowed. There's not a ton left to him. And that's too bad, and $6 million is a lot to be playing for a guy who's got pretty much nothing left in the tank. But all that aside, pretty impressive what he's pulled off over the years. All right, here's what's next. Let's look standings first. Habs 97 points now in the year, completely pulled away from the Ottawa Senators at 44-24-9 on the season. The Sens now 91 points, 6 points back. Gets that game in hand, don't mean shit now. Toronto in there at 89 points. They're not obviously going to catch it either. So the Canadiens look locked in for first in the Atlantic. It's time to start developing your hate for the New York Rangers, because we are going to be playing them in the first round. Habs actually tied the Rangers in the standings last night at 97 points. So as I was alluding to on the last podcast, if they could just pass them, then the Rangers wouldn't bitch the whole series about how they should actually have home ice advantage in that series. So as you're getting ready to hate the Rangers, I don't know, what do we got? We got Kreider taking out Price a couple years back in the Eastern Conference Final. I think that's something to start with. That's a nice place to work from. So start getting your Rangers hate on, because that is coming. Also coming, Ottawa playing Toronto in the first round. That's going to be so much fun. The wild card standings, just take a quick look. Boston 88, Tampa 85 on the outside. Carolina is still lingering there at 84 points. But Tampa or Carolina going to need a big, big push in these final few games if they're going to knock Boston out. I suspect Boston holds on there as well. So that's how the playoff picture is shaping up. Saturday night, Habs will be in Tampa Bay. That's the next game. I think they should start out Montoya if he's healthy. Because it's time to start Montoya a couple times between here and the end of the season to rest Price, I think, a little bit. But also, just because Tampa's right on the heels of Boston, and that would piss them off a little bit. That would be fun. So let's do that. Let's start Alvaro. Or, I don't know, Lindgren, if even need be, on Saturday night in Tampa. Because who cares? Let's make Boston's life a little more difficult, shall we? All right. That'll do it for this episode of the Recency Bias. Until Sunday, take care.